Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this car good, ISO?
Yo, it's good, man.
Yo, I've been getting some bad cars lately, man.
Not for me.
Yo, I need my money.
Yo, you good, Doc. You good. Check it out.
All right, hold on. All right, we good. You're now in the office of Dr. Big Al and my patient,
ISO, on Nick's Therapy.
At 7sitemedia.com.
Yo, yo, what up, ISO?
Yo, what up, Doc? What up, man? What's good?
Back here another week of Nick's Therapy. Good to have you in the chair, man.
Yeah, you know, it's all good. Got that new card, so everything is good. Gucci. Everything
yeah, I missed
is Gucci.
You. I missed you last week, man. We had a little, you know, week off, a little vacation time, but things about to heat up, man. It's about that time.
Tell the truth, Doc. You miss me or you miss my card? Tell the truth.
I miss
Doc.
Both, man. I miss both, man. I miss talking to you. I miss the money. You know? If we ain't working, I ain't getting paid. So,
I
miss both, man. But, yo, preseason around the corner, man. Training camp about to start.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait, Doc. Is, you know, everything has been anticipated. Can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Yeah,
I can't lie to you.
We all got that itch, man. Not that far away. It's about 2 weeks away, man. You know, media day and training camp.
Well, what can you say, Doc? What can you say that can't already been said? You know, everything is in anticipation right now, and I just can't wait for the best bet, you know. This every year it seems like we're saying I can't wait till next season.
Uh-huh.
Until the next season comes. So
it's
like,
almost here, man.
I know, Doc. I know,
yeah,
man.
We got a lot to talk about this week, you know, being that we missed a week and you know, we talked about a lot this summer, including our number one draft pick, Kevin Knox. And
right.
This week's episode, not entirely about Kevin Knox, but, you know, he's next up. You know, and we have him in place to be most likely our starting small forward. And we want to talk about our favorite Knicks small forwards of all time. I try to keep it away from the best because it's, you know, kind of hard to rank the best, so to include more, I put it as our favorites.
Right.
You know, so pause out there. You want to hear your top five favorite New York Knicks small forwards? A lot of us probably have some of the same, but you want to hear yours. 563-999-3716 is the number.
And press 1 to enter the queue.
Yeah. What's on your mind, ISO?
I mean,
sit in the chair.
I mean, first, Doc, before we get into the small forwards, you know, the Knicks are definitely going to be putting pressure on them Celtics this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're making it known early that Kyrie is going to be our 1-2-3 option this summer. For real.
Yeah. How you feel about that, though, man? As far as, I guess, I don't know if you want to say it's news leaking, but that, you know, they put it out there. Even though it wasn't a Knicks reporter that put it out there, it was somebody from the Boston Celtics side that put it out there that he got it, information from the Knicks that, you know, they're going to be going hard after Kyrie this summer.
I think it's good because at the end of the day, the Celtics are going to be a top team for a long time because they got a lot of talent. So what we need to, apply that pressure onto them to, you know, overpay for their players because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be able to keep everybody. So to know that the Knicks are going to be in the hunt for a player that we could likely pry away puts more pressure on the Celtics to have a good season this year. You know,
yeah,
go ahead, Doc.
Nah, I agree, man. I think they will have a good season regardless, but I'm kind of, you know, happy that it's out there because I feel before, even with them winning, I still see him being traded before, you know, the season ends, you know, by mid-season due to the fact, like you said, that they can't pay everybody.
I don't, Doc. That's the funny part. I don't. I think that they would rather ride out the season and see if they can win a ring with him. And if they can't, then they'll let him go knowing that they have a whole bunch of assets behind him. You see, why they're in the driver's seat is because of what happened last year. The fact that they got so close only gives them more confidence that they could do it without him. So, with that being said, they'll take a chance this year to see if they could win a ring. If they can't win a ring with him this year, then it really makes no sense to pay him that amount of money. And they'd rather let him walk.
So you think they'll take the chance of losing him for nothing?
Yeah.
When they could have the opportunity of trading him for somebody, say like a Dame Lillard.
But why would Portland trade? You see, here's a factor, is that it only makes sense if you're gonna trade Kyrie to the Knicks in the season, you know, like. If you say the Knicks says, all right, we'll give you Kyrie right now in midseason, and you give us a first rounder, you know, so at the end of the day, it's like you're not going to trade Kyrie to a team that you know he's not going to stay, and a team is not going to trade for a player that they know that they're not going to be able to keep.
That's true on Portland's end, but I also don't see them trading him to somebody like New York who's in conference and in division. But I also don't see them, you know, taking that chance of losing him for nothing, like what they did with they didn't lose Isaiah Thomas for nothing, but that was a different situation. But I think they try to get something for him.
I don't
letting him walk.
I think they can afford to let him walk because they have new superstars. That to me that's the key thing. They have new superstars. With the superstars that has come through with Tatum and the emergence of Brown and the emergence of Rozier at a level that they didn't expect, now it makes it easier for them to part with Kyrie.
I think it depends. I see what you're saying, but I think it depends on the in-season success. What we see from them throughout the season, they feel like, you know, they could win it without him? Or do they need him past this season?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Doc. Here's where everything changes, and here's the reason why they're not going to trade him, because the trade deadline is so early, and the only way you can anticipate them trading him is if you anticipate Boston having a terrible start to the season, which I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
Exactly. So you're not gonna trade that. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're just saying to yourself, okay, let's see what happens.
That's a tough one on their end. But the other part too, yeah, if they do trade him, it has to be to a team that he'll re-sign with. But I don't know if it goes that far. We'll see though.
I doubt it happens.
Overall, I'm not mad that, you know, the word is out. I think he knows, and you know, around the league, everybody knows that New Yorkers and the New York Knicks want him here. So the more it's in his head, I think the better.
I do. I feel the same way. You know, the fact that if we can let it be known, then that's just better for our end.
Yeah, something that we talked about, you know, thoroughly throughout the summer is that him along with other free agents coming here over the summer highly depends on KP's health, and that's something that was put out the other day too. That KD is another one that is watching KP's health, you know, when he comes back, and the potential for these Knicks, you know, with KP, with the healthy KP.
Right.
You know, so.
I mean,
I know we talked about it before as far as Christmas Day maybe being a gift to us, but how soon do we need him back, you know? How much games do we need from him for players to see that, you know, he's still the same KP that before, that started off last season?
You can give me second half of the season, man. Second half of the season.
40 games?
Yeah, give me half a season. Give me half a season.
Yeah, that's not bad. I just want him to be fully healthy, you know what I mean, without any restrictions and, you know, being the same as he was before he left, man.
Right.
I don't want that Joel Embiid, you know, stigma on him, play a game, sit a game, 25 minutes or less and all that crap. Give me full strength KP, or don't bring him back at all.
I feel you.
What's up with Sports Illustrated ranking him number 52 on their, you know, top NBA players list coming into the 2018-19 season?
Well, it's based on availability. It's based on availability.
It's kind of silly to me, man, because he was an all-star before the injury. You know, he got injured right before the all-star game, so he wasn't able to participate. So, with that being said, he's one of the top 24 players in the league. You know? Last year, you ranked him 33. On the same list. So because of, you know, his injury, he drops all the way to 52. I don't buy it, man.
I mean, it is what it is, Doc. You know, the best of it, the best ability is availability. And if they feel like, you know, he's super fragile, then it is what it is.
Injuries happen, man.
Yeah, I know injuries happen, but that's the thing. They don't know what they're gonna get from him. And because they don't know what they're gonna get from him, it's like, yo, we gotta sound like we gotta make sure that these dudes get what they need to get out of KP. You know, you gotta get them fired up. You gotta keep him motivated, keep him keep his physical correct. And I mean, right now, 53, that's what you got to get, man. I mean, you know, if you ain't playing, What can you expect out of the dude? You can't rank him.
Man,
I'm not buying it,
man. Because along with it, they didn't even put another Nick in the top 100, man. I think Enes Kanter deserves to be in the at least in the top 100. Come on, man. Top 100, dude, average a double double. I think 17 and 11 last season.
But they're thinking about defenses too, man. They think about defense
top,
too, dog.
Nah, that don't drop him to out of the top 100. Is he not? Off the top of my head, Enes Kanter is not one of the, I say, top 12 centers in the NBA, at least. That can't drop you out of the. He got to be better than that. That can't drop you out of the top 100, man. I'm not sure if I see any other Nick in the top 100, but it's Enes Kanter, man. At least.
I mean, forget Enes Kanter. The fact that Tim Hardaway ain't in there.
Man, come on, man. I don't do that.
No, I'm not saying that he should. I'm saying the fact that he's not goes to show you where our money's going. Like,
right.
He got to go, B.
Hopefully that's some type of motivation for him himself. You know what I mean? That needs to be motivation for him himself, man. Honestly, that dude didn't even earn that money, bro. Like, you had like a piece of the season in Atlanta, and these dudes, you know, gave you money that you ain't even deserve, man. He's one of those dudes that should have got like a 1-year contract and then say, oh, you know, earn your next contract. You gave him what, a four or five year deal, man?
Yeah, dude. That right there is baffling to me. You know? It's just like when I watch YouTube and I seen Wade's son hit clutch basket on NBA player. I'm like, let me see who the player is.
it's comedy, man.
It gotta be Hardaway.
We give props to the moves that Scott Perry and Steve Mills did for the most part. But that one right there is a knock on their resume, man. You know? Out of all the moves, you know. But I think the move was made before Perry was hired, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100%.
No, Perry.
Perry was there. He was there when Hardaway got signed.
Yeah. He was there.
I feel.
He was there.
All the moves.
We were gasping at straws.
Not sign anybody, man. She was just hold on to the money.
You gotta make some people want to come in at least. And they thought like, all right, you know.
Our reputation
was so bad at that point that we couldn't get anybody, so we had to overpay.
Yo, ISO, don't defend that move, man.
Listen, Doc. Real talk. Understand the state of where the Knicks were. They mistreated Carmelo Anthony. You know, everything was a debacle. So nobody was trying to come to the Knicks. Like, you know, it's a brotherhood. So nobody was trying to come here. And because nobody was trying to come here, it was just like it was hard for us to get talent to come here. So we had to really overpay to make somebody come over here. So the same way it was like back in the days when we first overpaid Stoudemire to come through. It's the same thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Except that this dude is not a star.
Well, how does that help us?
It didn't help us, but we had to do what we had to do to stay afloat, my G. That's what I'm saying.
I don't see it, man. As far as, I mean, we had We got a two guard. I mean, some may like him and some may not, and Courtney Lee. Where does Tim Hardaway Jr. help us, man?
I mean, actuality to me, I like Langston Galloway more than I do Tim Hardaway.
And of course, at a cheaper price.
Of course, we could have kept him at a cheaper price. You know what I'm saying? He shoots the three. But more importantly, he plays defense. You know?
There's something else we could have did with that money, especially for the amount of years, too, that we gave him. There's something else, man.
There was nothing else we could have did, Doc.
Well, not give it away to him. I don't know, man. I just hope we see some improvements from him. I mean, I've seen, you know, all the workouts that he's been in the gym all summer.
I don't see the improvement that I need to see.
Yeah, I'm hoping that.
The improvement that I need to see is defense. And the fact that, you know, like I said, you over here letting Wade's son clutch baskets on you in the summertime is not a good look for me. That don't
agree,
look good
man.
To me.
I agree, man. That's the knock I have on him. Nothing. Well, some parts of the offense and maybe shot selection, but the hustle stats, man, that we always talk about, the defense, you know, the diving for loose balls, deflection, anything, man. Running down, you know, his man on a fast break, anything, man. But you don't see nothing on that end from Tim Hardaway Jr., man. Hopefully there's a change this upcoming season, man.
Hopefully we could put him we may have to put him in a trade package, B. We may have to put him in a trade package, but, you know, that might mean giving away maybe potentially Zion or Barrett or somebody else. But, I mean, if we can get a star for that draft pick and get rid of Tim Hardaway, then I'm with it.
I'm all for it because, man, I always say I'd rather the known than the unknown.
Yeah, but,
you know
I mean?
Mean,
we get Zion, B.
But who says, you know, who says we're going to, you know, get that high of a draft pick? Suppose we end up at, like, 9-10 again. Is it worth it, man? I'd rather package the pick and get a known, like I said, somebody that we know has been an all-star or whatever his role has been, and an unknown.
I feel you.
Talking about dudes that need to go or package or trade or whatever, man. I don't know. What's up with Joakim Noah still being here, man?
I think it's cheaper once the season starts. I think there's a waiver wire or something like that.
The stretch provision that they're looking at.
They're definitely gonna waive him.
His money is guaranteed, but I think part of it is that they're still trying to look for a trade for him, man.
Nobody does. Doc, come on, man. No way in hell nobody paying for that contract. No way in hell. Word up. Straight. You might as well hope that the devil wearing 40 belows before you think somebody about to get that contract. Nah, B.
Yeah,
it ain't
happening. We thought, you know, I think some people had some hope once that Luol Deng, when he got bought out from the Lakers and Tibbs, you know, and Minnesota signed him. I think some was hoping that side could be worked out with Minnesota, but news is that they're not interested. So I don't think there's any hope on that front. I hope he doesn't make it to training camp because I think it'll be more hurt to the team than a plus. You know what I mean? We don't need him taking time away or minutes away from.
He ain't taking nothing from nowhere. He's not in the plans. He's not in the plans. No way, no how, B. Straight up. So you ain't even gotta worry about that.
Or waived as ASAP, man. I mean, I wish they could just instead of that stretch, just pay him, and we don't gotta hear nothing about him forever. Callers out there, press 1 to get in the queue so we can hear from you. But yeah, man, what else we got on the table? Yo, we got a shout out. You know, we missed a week, but last week was a Hall of Fame, you know, enshrinement, ceremony, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And former Knick, Jason Kidd, was inducted. You know, even though he had 1 year here. It was a great year. He was real instrumental in our success that year, you know.
Tremendous.
And, he brought a lot, you know, to the youngsters on the team, even, you know, superstar and Mello.
It was amazing. Just to show you how great he was, he gave us he helped orchestrate one of the greatest seasons we've had in a long time. I mean, for the first time ever, the Knicks started out the season 10-0. Like, first time ever. Like, we went into San Antonio and beat San Antonio. Beat down on the Heat. We was beating down on all the good teams, B. It was such a, oh, man. It was no question. It was one of the most joyous times I can remember as a Knicks fan. And J. Kidd was leading the charge, man. For real, it was amazing. It was definitely amazing.
The city was hyped that year, man. From beginning to end. You know, that was, like you said, that was one of our most special years in a long time. You know, yeah, he was the head of it, man. It was surprising to see that he had, you know, so much left in the tank. You know, he started all season for us. I don't remember his averages, but I know he faded a little bit, like everybody else in the Pacers series, but.
Yep, because he ended up playing too many minutes.
But what he brought was, you know, his basketball IQ, and I always say that takes you a long way, you know, over athleticism and all that stuff. But his basketball IQ, his smarts and all of that, along with a word that we used a lot that year with all those vets was accountability. You know, he held, you know, the younger players
He held the younger players accountable, but not only that, though, you got to figure that what he did for Melo's game, he was able to give Melo a peace of mind that the point position would be handled correctly and at a high level. And Once Melo knew that he didn't have to worry about bringing up the ball and stuff like that, all the stuff that Melo was accused of doing before and after the Knicks during that season showed you the impact of Jason Kidd, not only on himself but on Raymond Felton's game. And the combination of the two, along with Melo, man, I just wish that we had gotten past the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, man.
Because I really liked our chances against the Heat that year, because we had the remedy, we had the stability, we had the 3-point shooting, we had the ISO scorer, we had everything that you needed, you know, potency coming off the bench. We had everything that we needed to do to really beat the Heat and really even saw Tate the San Antonio Spurs, because I think the Spurs, they faced the Spurs that year. And
yeah, man.
We demolished them. We demolished the Spurs both times.
Something that you always talked about concerning Melo, man, that was a year where he didn't have to worry about anything but what he does. Scoring and you know, he played the most defense we ever seen him play, because I think the veterans that he had around him, he had no choice. But and also to be an example to the dude like Iman and J.R. Smith, you know, he had to play some defense. But what you always talk about was him holding the team down on that one end of the court and everybody doing everything for him on the other end. And that was one year that he had here that, you know, all he had to do was be responsible for what he does.
Yeah, but he was a great offensive, you know, he was doing his thing on offense. He had
That was the year he led the league in scoring, right?
Yeah. He should have been an MVP that year.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been MVP. They jerked him. And the reason why I say he should have been MVP, because his team won over 20-game improvement. 20-game, you know what I'm saying? How do you have a 20-game improvement? Go from last place, you basically go from the 8th seed to a 2 seed in 1 year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was ridiculous, man. But, yo, Doc, let's get into this small forward talk, man. For real.
Ready,
for real.
Man?
Yeah.
Who you got as your number five all-time Knicks small forward? Your favorite number five?
All right. You know what I'm saying? Small forward all-time number five has to go to... I give my man Mace. Mace is my... I give Mace my number five. Mason is my number five all-time.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I got Mason here, too. This is kind of hard because I will name some of the ones who didn't name the list after, but Mason is a dude that a lot of people consider a power forward, but on the Knicks, you know, because Oakley held down, you know, the power forward for the most part, Mason had to play the small forward a lot, but him too, rest in peace, Anthony Mason. I got him as my number five too, man. That dude was different, man. He could guard a lot of positions. One of the first, I don't want to say one of the first, but I think who started it with him? I want to say, was it Don Nelson?
Yeah.
He gave him the freedom to be the point forward.
Yeah.
On the Knicks, and it turned out, did he make a an all-star team with us? Or was it with Charlotte?
I think it was with Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was fun to see him push the ball at his size, man. And do what he did, man. But Mace was a fun one to watch, so. Yeah, like I said, my number five small forward also. I start off with my number four. LJ, I got as my number four.
LJ?
I got LJ. Same reason, you know, some might not consider him a small forward, but when he came over from Charlotte, he got pushed in that position too because of, you know, Oakley holding down the power forward spot. But, yeah, LJ was before even Charlotte, LJ is one of my favorite players, and I was happy to see when he came to New York. I remember even when he was in Charlotte that I think Pat Riley was the coach of the All-Star team, and he didn't play him, I think, much minutes in the All-Star game. I think he promised to drop 80 the next time he played the Knicks, and then he ended up over a season later getting traded to New York.
Yeah, Larry Johnson provided a lot of great highlights. 4-point play in the playoffs. I got a lot of respect for LJ, but for my number four,
it could have been
switched either or 4 or 5. They both, you know what I'm saying? Both, I had mutual respect for both of them. But my number four was Johnny Newman. I love me some Johnny Newman. You know what I'm saying? Coming down the lane, banging it on cats, hitting a three. Like, Johnny Newman was part of the revolution of the way the game was played. Because remember, like, for as much as they could talk about any team about 3-point shooting, the Knicks was the first team really who really incorporated the 3-pointers in their game as part of a major part of their offense. And that was one of my favorite teams of all time to watch as a Knicks fan, because we could put up points with the best of them. You know, with Ewing, Charles Smith, and Oakley inside, with Johnny Newman, Gerald Wilkins, Trent Tucker, and Mark Jackson shooting the threes on the outside. It was just a fun time for Knicks fans. And
was,
I mean,
what was they called? They were called the Bomb Squad.
It was called the Bombers and Bangers.
Oh yeah.
Bombers and Bangers.
Didn't they have a poster also?
Yeah, they had a T-shirt. Like, the Bombers had all the, like, the Bombers had all, like the flight gear type shit on. You know what I'm saying? They had all the gear on, looking like, it was dope. It was just a dope time right there as a Knick. Like, straight up, it was amazing. Amazing. Word.
Yeah, those was fun times, man. I remember Johnny Newman saying those were my early days watching the Knicks, man. Slasher, 3-point shooter, sort of typical small forwards. You know what I mean?
For real.
Yeah,
played defense. Could dunk it on you, finish the break, shoot the three. You know what I'm saying? That was one of the times when the Knicks were very – oh, and I forgot, Rod Strickland was on that squad too.
Yeah.
Rod Strickland was on that squad. That was like one of the most offensive teams the Knicks had during the Ewing era. For real. I love that squad.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. And that's one dude too. Like, you when you say his name, I think you – although he played for other teams, I think you only associate him with the Knicks.
No question, man. No question.
Yeah, man. Who you got? I think I know who you got as your number three, but spit your number three, man.
Oh, man. You know, I was going through some debate, but Latrell Sprewell. Latrell Sprewell, B. I'll never forget how it all happened. You know, like, people can say what they want, but let's get it straight, right? Like if braids, right? If braids were Versace, right? If braids were Versace, then Iverson was Tupac, and Sprewell was Biggie. You heard?
I feel you on that one.
Because Iverson had the braids, no doubt, but dudes was rocking the corn rolls because of Spree. Straight. Dudes was rocking the corn rolls because of Spree, not Iverson.
He brought a lot of flavor to New York, too, man.
And I just remember it was half a, you know what I'm saying? It was the lockout season. We didn't know the basketball was going to happen. And then they was like, yo, Knicks get Sprewell. And I'm like, what?
Yeah,
like, are you serious?
That was a big surprise. because it wasn't like something that, you know how trades go down and, you know, there's rumors and all types of stuff. But that one, you know, stuff, that one came like out of the woodwork.
That was amazing. It was amazing. It was electrifying because, like, that was one of the first times that the Knicks got a star that wasn't at the end of his prime. Like, not at the end of his prime, but was past his prime. You know what I'm saying? Sprewell was towards the end of his prime. He still had a lot left in the gas. And, I mean, the energy, everything, yo, like, the scowl when he would dunk the rock. You know what I'm saying? The grittiness. He embodied, he fit right into what we were as a New York Knick straight. The only regret is that I wish we would have had him earlier. Straight. I wish we would have had him earlier. And not wasted.
Sprewell, man. There's two plays in Knicks history that I just remember the garden just jumping up, like the whole garden shaking. One was the LJ 4-point play, and the other was when Spree dunked on Jaren Jackson in the 99 final. The whole arena rose, man. Like, you heard the whole New York shake, man.
I'm gonna tell you why I respect Sprewell so much. You know, let me tell you why I love Sprewell so much. Is because it was Patrick Ewing's retirement night. And he was like, nah, son. We ain't losing this on Patrick night. You bugging. We going to OT. I'm going to work. And after hitting them shots, who he going?
Mm-hmm.
He running right over to Pat to get Pat five. Like, you bugging. Not on your night, my G. Like, the love that he... Straight, man, straight. And that's why Dolan knew what he was doing when he invited Sprewell to sit next to him after the Oakley situation, because he knew how much Sprewell was beloved. Like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something like this, straight up. Sprewell was an all-star and everything, but he is more famous, and the fame that he has gotten is strictly directed from what he did as a Knick. For real.
Yeah.
Dudes ain't buying them Sprewells because he's played in Golden State. Dudes, you know what I'm saying? Dudes is buying them Sprewells because they like, yo, my man was the greatest thing since sliced bread in New York.
Even if you see his throwback jersey, it's not a Golden State throwback jersey. It's a New York Knicks Sprewell jersey that everybody wants.
Believe it, yo. That during that time, his number 8 was selling more than Kobe's.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Real talk, man. So who you got as your number 3, Doc?
Sprewell, no question.
Okay.
No question, man. Yeah, we could move on to number 2, but I think my number 2 is your number 1, and your number 2 is probably my number 1. But, yeah, my number 2 is Bernard, man. You know, even though it was slightly a little bit before my time, but I've seen enough. You know, Bernard and his game to say, oh, that dude was a bad man, you know, a bad man. I wish I could have seen more of him while healthy and, you know, for a longer duration. But, you know, a lot of cats, I know, took things from him, you know, as far as how he scored the ball and got buckets. You know, I watched some of the games he had, the back-to-back 50-point games, the series he had against Isaiah and the Pistons, and yo, that dude was unstoppable on that.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Unstoppable. Man.
Let me tell you something right now. He is my number one. He is my number one, no question about it. I remember as a kid when the Knicks used to be on Channel 9, my G.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Before I knew Jordan, right, he was our Jordan. Straight. Like there's no question about it. Like, scoring on that level, there was nothing he couldn't do. First of all, one, his face and expression was as cold as ice. As cold as ice. Like, you know, there was no smiling. There was no smiling with Bernard. Everything was straight business. The spin move to the jumper, the drop steps, his jimmy, his hops, everything he could do, play defense, he could do everything. And I mean, like, this dude was a super, super, superstar. To imagine the amount of years you've played as a Knick and just that time right there, that time right there made you one of the 50 greatest. Not even a Hall of Famer.
Besides right, that short amount of time.
That's how disgusting this dude was, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't a question. Like, if this dude, I would have loved to have seen Mike play against Bernard in his prime. Seriously, there is nothing Mike could have done. Nothing. Easy. That's easy food because he's bigger, he's stronger than Mike, he could jump just as high, his jimmy was just as wet. I mean, my goodness, man. Like,
I think him, you know, is probably one of the biggest wetters ever, you know, in NBA history. You know, sometimes we talk about players, what they would have been, what if, but we did see, I think we saw enough to know that where he would have stood if, you know, he was healthy throughout.
No question, man.
Career. You talk about Penny, you talk about Penny, you talk about Grant Hill, players like that, but Bernard, man, like you heard the reason why he picked the number 30?
Nah, tell me.
Because that was his goal to average 30 points every year.
Like, what makes Bernard so remarkable is he's one of the first players to come back from a major knee accident, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the first player to come back from that, one of the first major players to come back from that. And he reinvented his game and became an all-star again. Like, man, we could have used that against Mike, man. We could have used that against Mike. To have a play with that kind of caliber.
It's hard to, you know that the Knicks, when it was his contract was up, they didn't even go after him like that, I guess, because of the injury, you know, and then he returned to form. You know,
he became an all-star the next year. The next year, B.
Ridiculous.
He came back. He's like, nah, he don't have enough in the tank. And then the next year, he became an all-star. I'm like, yo, son, you just don't treat a player like that. And that's one of the reasons why the Knicks, are the Knicks, man.
Cursed.
Because of how we treat our players, man.
Yeah, you say it started with how they treated Walt Clyde Frazier.
Exactly.
That only adds to it, man. That, what would have happened if he had Bernard and Pat in their primes together, man, versus Michael and the Bulls?
But you know, let me tell you something. Here's mm-hmm. the thing. If Bernard never got hurt, then we don't get Pat.
But that's true. That's true. But what if we kept him, you know, when we let him walk?
No, but, oh, no question. Then that means that we don't lose that series when we were the better team. Yeah, when we were the better team, we don't lose that series. We don't
Mike
lose that.
I mean, Pat would have had that superstar that we all say that he wish he had.
No question. No question, man. For real.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it's kind of it sucks to look back on that and see that Knicks was making moves like that since then.
Yeah,
you know, bonehead decision.
It hurt because he was the favorite, man. I mean, the term King of New York. I mean,
yeah, that's when you see that poster, that's yo. I don't
it's
think
iconic.
It's much comparable. Yeah, that's my that'll go on forever, man. Like you don't see other posters compared to that one. That was an ill photo shoot, Bernard King.
Yeah. I love Bernard, man. For real.
So who was your number two? I don't think.
Well, my number two is your number two is my number two is your number one.
Right.
And let's just say, you know, my only regret is that I wish that he could have waited until the season was over. I just wish he could have waited until the season was over and we could have played with Chandler and Gallinari, and I think we would have had a championship. There's no question in my mind. If the Knicks kept that team and then Anthony came the next year, we would have won. Because it would have been too much firepower.
Yeah, that whole trade started like a strain on the franchise as far as a lack of depth and on the bench and it just continued because
you
traded away everybody. You know what I mean? And after that, there was always a strain to find pieces to put around Melo. And Amari doing that whole run until that 2012 2013 season that you talked about when you had Jason Kidd and the rest of the vets, but there was always a strain to get players around him,
but
especially dealing with the salary cap and all type of situations.
But I don't regret it.
No, I don't regret it.
I don't regret it at all. Because to me, to finally have had a superstar again.
A true superstar.
Yeah.
In his prime.
Because people can say, he's not a superstar, this and this. To me, my definition of a superstar should at least be able to guide a team to the playoffs. No matter what level of playoffs you go, if you're a superstar, you should be able to go to any team and make them go to the playoffs. And to do what he did every night, to finally have a player that can go up against the best player in the league and get busy on him.
Almost every time.
Yeah, especially when he was in his prime, it was just an amazing feeling to have, like the game that he had, just to show you how much of a potent scorer this guy was. The game that he had against the Milwaukee Bucks, he had just finished his physical, coming off a flight. Coming off a flight from Denver, just finished his physical, no practice, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? Just off pure adrenaline. And my man comes through in the clutch like, waka. It was just an amazing feeling because that was the first time in a long time that I thought we had hope, He brought hope,
yeah.
And he, to this date, since that 99-2000 season, he had gave us one of the, you know what I'm saying, one of the best seasons we've ever had as far as, you know what I'm saying, placement and stuff like that and just an overall enjoyment of the regular season. I mean, we started off 10-0, B. Who could imagine that? 10-0.
Even that first season when he came, remember, I think it was a few days later, and when they beat
Miami.
That was memorable in itself, man. Like you said, he gave us some type of hope. And he was at home.
That season, for majority of the season, we were the number one team in the East.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy was that? The Knicks were the number one team in the East for more than half of the season. We didn't lose our footing until late because of injuries. Man, it was a great time, man. You know, the sixty something points.
That night was crazy. Yeah, so I remember it. I remember I came home from work and, you know, I was playing with my daughter. Said, you know, on the couch with my wife, and then I seen, like 20 something in the second quarter. I'm like, what is that right? Dude, he just kept going. Ended up with 62 that night.
I mean,
I believe that reminded me of the Kobe when Kobe had his 81. I couldn't believe what was shown on the TV. I didn't think the score was right.
Yeah, let me tell you something. He looked like he wanted to go for 70 the first time the Lakers came with D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
But Dwight Howard hurt his knee. He was going crazy that night too. He was going crazy. But
yeah,
I mean,
despite how much people talk about his inefficiency on defense, but you know what he brought to the table on offense, you don't see that too often, man.
Dudes don't understand how it is to be night in and night out and still drop over 25 a game.
Yeah.
When
we used to say, yo, that dude is nice. No, he was one of those dudes, man.
Always will be. I thank him, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it felt good to have a New Yorker in the starting lineup in the All-Star game, like penciled
mm-hmm.
in. You know, it felt good, man. It felt good, man, and I don't regret it. And like Knox, you have some big shoes to fill, B.
Yeah, that's the reason why we brought up this list, because Knox is next up.
We gotta see what he's gonna do, Doc. We gotta see what he's gonna do. You know,
it ain't far away, man. It ain't far away.
Hopefully,
we can talk about Knox. So name a few players that, you know, didn't make your top five that probably you could say honorable mention.
Oh, small forward, Doc? Knicks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man. Gallinari, Chandler. You know,
yeah, one of my faves that didn't make it too. I just hear he used to get dudes buckets with Al Harrington, man.
Yeah, I love Al Harrington.
Harrington was a Jersey dude, but you know, same way, still in New York. He played, you know, when he came out, he still played.
I like some Al Harrington. I like Gallinari though.
Yeah,
Gallo, you know, that was funny. You know, it was funny too. I think like his career would have went a different path if he stayed in New York. I think.
Well,
I
like
think
you said, what if he was with Melo? Imagine him in the role that Novak played. You know what I mean? Getting the shots Novak got while Melo was there.
Yeah, but I just think just the overall team would have been better, man. Would have been better. Straight. And, you
solid,
know,
more depth.
Yeah.
Another dude I liked was we had Balkman, Ronaldo Balkman.
He was all right.
The energy he brought. I just liked him because he was like one of those dudes that Isaiah found in the rough. You know what I mean? That he, you know, not a lot of people knew about him. And Isaiah had a knack for finding talent. Even Wilson Chandler wasn't drafted that high, and people didn't expect much of him. But you know, he's pretty good too in his time here.
Yeah. So was Trevor Ariza.
Yeah. I forgot about Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't name some of the older cats. I like Kiki Vandeweghe in his time here. Even though him too was past his prime, he had a few moments.
Yeah, he was all right. Kiki was all right.
The Busher was before my time.
So was mine.
But honorable mentions. But like we said, Kevin Knox is up next, and like you said, you got some big shoes to fill at that position, man.
I'm happy. Well, the only good thing that I'm happy about that he signed with Puma is that he ain't gonna be wearing Kobe's. No disrespect, but the kind of Kobe's that he was wearing were damn near golf shoes.
Yeah, low tops. I know you're not a fan of those at all, man.
Like,
but
the new Kobe's ain't that bad because it's like almost quarter, but the ones he was wearing, some Venom or something, oh my God. Those were the same ones that forced, what's the name, to sit out, the guard from Sacramento.
Who was that?
The Kings guard who went to play with Kentucky.
De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. He had played in those and he hurt his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you see, those is no bueno. No bueno. Straight. So
yeah.
he wearing Pumas,
man.
Now. He wearing Pumas. And it's almost iconic. It's ironic. You know what I'm saying?
Because
he got Clyde, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Maybe he could bring, maybe he's the second coming.
I want to see if, you know, if there'll be any connection with Jay-Z, because I know, you know, Jay-Z became the, what they call it, I think, creative director for Puma.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we'll see Jay back in the garden at some point. I know he had, you know, his stint with the Nets, which I'm not sure. I think he relinquished.
He did.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll see him back in the garden at some point watching.
He has some players there. And then plus on top of that, you know, I think that's what really intrigues everybody about Roc Nation right now. Could they bring Garnett Durant, to the Garden?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's big too, man. I know Jay-Z attracts a lot of other players, talent, you know, so it's something to look out for on a side note.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah, like you said, at the top of the show, it's almost here, man. Training camps open the 25th? So less than two weeks away.
Salivating at the moment.
Word, man. The first preseason game is October 1st versus Washington. So that'll be our first real look at the as a team, you know, playing together. But
man,
a lot of eagerness, man. A lot of eagerness. But yeah, it's almost here, man. Almost here.
You know, we're gonna do our thing, Doc. We're gonna do our thing because the coach. The coach is gonna make us do our thing.
There's a lot to look out for, man. Like you've been saying, Kevin Knox, but also our other rookie Mitchell Robinson, the point guard situation, the Noah situation. We still hoping to resolve. The other vets on the team. There's a lot to look, a lot of questions to be answered.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
But almost here, man. So. But, yo, good to have you here again, man.
Thanks, Doc. It was good to be here.
Glad your card didn't decline.
My card is good. My card is good money. Card is good money. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. We thank all the listeners out there. Monday, the eye test.
Yes, it's going to be a good one. Damian Lillard versus Kyrie Irving.
Last week's was, you know, I shouldn't say last week. Monday's was a good one also, man.
Yeah, you know, we try to aim to please. You know, this one, I anticipate this one going to be highly debatable.
Mm-hmm. Kyrie versus Dame. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Yeah, sparks are definitely going to be flying, so, you know.
Yeah, Monday at 9, the ITIS. And check out our archive episodes of both the ITIS and Knicks Therapy on 7sidemedia.com. You also can find them on SoundCloud and iTunes under 7sidemedia.com. Check us out on Facebook, both the ITIS NBA show and Knicks Therapy on Facebook and Instagram. I think that's all we got for this week, ISO.
For real, Doc. You know, it's
any
been a pleasure.
Any closing words for the people?
Just keep in the spirit of good small forwards. Let's just pray that, you know what I'm saying, Kevin Knox can live up to the hype and exceed them. That's what I'm about.
Yeah. I think we got one, man. I think we discussed this before. I think we got one in him, man. All we heard, we didn't really get into the interview he had a couple weeks ago with Stephen A. Smith, but he's saying all the right things, man. And what we saw from him in the summer league, his game shows it too. So I think we got one, man. And hopefully the people appreciate him more than they did some of the past ones we had, you know?
You know, we get, you know, the homegrowns get more of a pass, always get more of a pass than the free agents. Homegrowns always get more of a pass, so. Let's see, you know what I'm saying? Let's see what happens, for real.
Word. So, I see you next week, ISO. Same time.
No doubt, Doc. New card. Word. Everybody out there. Peace.
Peace.